Still, it's great to have you. I want to begin today with something that I began to tell you probably about 3 weeks ago, but then the Holy Spirit interrupted me. And, you know, which is fine. I mean, he can do that anytime. That's all right with me. And I'm going to do something a little different, and I'm going to pray right now, okay? As we get going. Gary, would you come up and pray?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, again, we are just so thankful that we can join here in your name, God, and join together as fellow believers. Father, I pray that you would have your way in this place today,
yes, God. Yes,
Lord. Do what you want to do, Lord. Speak to us, God. Let us set aside every distraction today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, so that we can receive your word, God, that we can get closer to you. Father, change us, Lord. Father, for any of us that may put up a wall, God.
Take it down, Jesus.
That we would put up our own wall to separate ourselves from you, Lord, I pray that you would just tear that down. But right now, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, and that today would be the day that you would finally reach us, God. Thank you for Pastor West, God. I thank you, Lord, for speaking through him today.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, and just orchestrate today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Anyway, I don't know if this was the case for you or not, but it was for me. When I first accepted Jesus, I was told by some very well-meaning Christians that my sins would be forgiven, which is good, that my life would basically be better, and all of my troubles would just disappear. I would begin a life of blessing, okay? Hardships, worries, all of those types of things, they'd be gone, never to be seen again. Conflict, crisis, and chaos would be a thing of the past. Well, to put it lightly, that wasn't exactly the complete truth, all right? My sins were forgiven, and blessings were a part of my life. But as far as everything being better and all of my troubles being gone, that was really far from the total truth. As I remember it, I lost who I thought were close friends, okay, because I gave my heart to Jesus. And consequently, I no longer had the support of the people that I had before I got saved. My marriage was still a mess, all right? And let me tell you, everything was very, very far from perfect. In other words, things weren't the way I was told that they were going to be. Thank God I had a little bit of biblical foundation from growing up in the church. How many of you know that going to church doesn't automatically make you a Christian? Okay. So because of that biblical foundation that I had, I decided to stick with it, even though it wasn't quite what I was told. And I know that you've heard this before, and you probably get tired of hearing it, but John 16:33 says this, Jesus is talking, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The truth is, you know, an easy life, it isn't promised by Jesus. But what is promised us is a new life, amen? And that he will always be with us in that new life to help us through the storms of life that are going to come because we live in a fallen world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are you with me? Unfortunately, many believers were told the same thing as I was. It was kind of the thing that was being told all new Christians, right? Everything's going to be great. And again, unfortunately, when they begin to experience even a little bit of inconvenience or a bit of discomfort, it's enough to upset them. And they start complaining, and unfortunately, they quit Christianity because it isn't what everybody told them it would be. How many of you know that complaining leads to quitting?
Yep.
Amen? It does. Complaining leads to quitting. And with that, I'd like you to stand with me. And this is a little bit broken up, and it's different than what we would normally do, but you'll stand with me, please, and we'll do our Bible declaration. Are you ready? Is more than three people ready?
Ready.
Okay, all right. Take your Bible, hold it up to heaven, and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. All right. You know, most Christians don't like to confess or admit that the things that I just mentioned are a part of the Christian life that they now embrace. But experiencing life tells us something different, all right? But truly, as much as I hate to admit it, as life experience shows us, we all say, we all. All right. We all experience some sort of pain and discomfort and disappointment during our life. Pain is real. Amen? Pain is real. You felt it. I have felt it. Your brothers and your sisters have felt it. We've all felt it. Pain can be relational. Ask anybody who's going through it, through any kind of an emotional struggle. Pain can be financial. You know what? It isn't good to be broke. It's hard to be broke. Are you with me? All right. Pain can be physical. Just ask those who are struggling with a sickness. But how many of you know when pain is personal, it's palpable? Amen? When it's personal, you can feel it. Now, please hear me and understand what I'm about to say, because it's a foundational truth, all right? I think this is probably one of the most foundational of truths, and it's this. Pain does not, and I don't believe it for a moment, that any pain ever, comes from God. Amen? All right, and there is absolutely nothing that any of you can say to me that will convince me otherwise. Can God work in pain? Absolutely, absolutely. But God never initiates nor inflicts pain on his children, especially to teach them a lesson. Now, I don't know if that kind of, you know, messes up your theology or not, but God does not do that. Infliction of pain, that's the enemy's MO, not our God's MO. Amen? Remember the primary principle that we've learned over the years. All right? And repeat it with me. God is good. No, that isn't quite how we do it. God is good. And all the time. To who?
To me.
You know, we just have to believe that. I mean, this is a non-negotiable in our Christian declaration. But that still doesn't mean that you and I are exempt from hardship and from pain and from struggles and from things going wrong. We still face this chaos and conflict or crisis or even calamity. Why? Because the Bible, okay, which was written to you and I, says that we have a very real enemy who makes sure that we do. Are you with me? If somebody tells you that now that you are a Christian, you'll be free from all kinds of trouble, it's going to be great, life's going to be wonderful, they're trying to sell you an empty promise that you won't find anywhere in the scriptures. And if you buy the lie, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
And please hear this. Disappointment has disabled and disillusioned many disciples. It truly has. Are you with me? All right. The Bible warns us in 1 Peter 5:8, as well as in many other scriptures, that this is true. Verse 8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I've heard many teachings, and I've heard it say that because it says he's like a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion, but the Bible says he's like a roaring lion, okay? And the fact that he's even mentioned there lets you and I know that we fight a very real battle. Amen? All right. Let me read that to you out of the Amplified. "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." Let me tell you something this morning, okay? The enemy might be hungry to hurt you, all right? But God is in a hurry to heal you.
Amen?
Amen. And that ought to make you shout this morning and clap and do whatever, all right? All right. And the scripture that we just read means this, that our enemy will come. Not that he might come, but he will come. And if we are not in the right state of mind and in the right state of spirit, if you will, and if we are not sober and vigilant when he does come, he will endeavor to devour us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to ruin your life. Now hear me, this isn't all about the devil, but I want you to understand this morning, okay? That's good because I just lost my place. The enemy always wants to devour you. He always wants to. But the truth is, and I want you to hear this, because this is our hope, okay? Life may hurt you, but Jesus will heal you. Amen? That's just as foundational as what we said this morning, okay, that God is good. You know, life may hurt you, and life will hurt you. It will. I've lived enough of it to know that life hurts you, but Jesus will heal you. And again, that ought to get you excited this morning. Paul, realizing life and ministry wouldn't be all romance and roses from his own life experience, wrote 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. And please turn there if you would like, or you can just read it up on the screen, I guess. There's more than one Bible in here, right? Yeah. Okay. By the way, the title of the message this morning is Facing Crisis and Finding Comfort. Facing Crisis and Finding Comfort. Okay. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. You therefore must endure hardship. Say hardship. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Let me give you the definition of hardship as it comes from our English dictionary, okay? Hardship is this. It's a condition that is difficult to endure. How many of you know that, all right? It's suffering and deprivation and it's oppression. Something that is hard to bear or a lack of comfort. Or being in constant danger, that's hardship. Sickness is hardship. Pain is hardship. Confusion is hardship. And if you're wondering why Paul wrote these things to Timothy, it's because of what Timothy was going through. How many of you know that we go through things in life? Amen. But what he was going through, Paul wanted to let him know that in order to get through this season in his life, he would have to purpose in his heart to endure hardship. And I want you to know, you know, the Bible is written to you and I as well. It doesn't matter if you like what it says or you don't like what it says. If Timothy had to endure hardship, that means that we will endure hardship. Amen. That means hardship will come. Amen. Amen. He told them that you had to endure hardship, all right? Because Paul also knew that what we purpose to attain, you will likely achieve. If you purpose in your heart to endure hardship, you'll probably endure hardship, okay? Not that it'll come your way more often, but you'll be able to endure it, okay? But what you purpose in your heart to attain, you will likely achieve. What were the things that Timothy was facing, and what was it that was so insurmountable and difficult for him to recover from? Let's take a look, okay? First of all, this is what was going on at that time in Timothy's life. Nero was alive, okay? And Nero had started this rumor that Rome had been set on fire by the Christians, even though it was just a ruse, okay, because he wanted to have a little bit more room for his building projects. He was blaming believers for the fire. And he had already begun to murder and martyr believers for their faith. And because of this, Timothy was facing martyrdom. And so he was looking over his shoulder constantly. Can you imagine what that is like? He was wondering when it was that they were going to come for him. And other parts of his life weren't so good either. The church he was pastoring was declining. Many of the people who had sworn, now hear this, many of the people who had sworn that they were Timothy's faithful friends and part of his forever flock had abandoned him. They left. Something better came along. They weren't going to stick around. People who said they would support him forever were gone. And the church was in this big decline, and so consequently, he was in crisis, okay? And this, on top of a plethora of other things, opened a door to fear and to chaos and to conflict and pain. How many of you know this morning that there are doors in the spirit that we can open if we're not careful? It's the truth. Doors that if opened, it can seemingly destroy the covering of Christ on your life and open doors to the deeds of the devil. I mean, have you ever been there? It's like everything in your life, okay, everything in your life was going so well, and the future was looking so bright, and all of a sudden everything starts to unexplainably just fall apart. Amen? I mean, you were solvent, all of a sudden, you know, your finances are falling apart. People, again, that you thought were your friends were actually becoming your foes. You're constantly getting into conflicts with your spouse, your friends, your boss at work, and your coworkers. Okay, maybe your wife, and this is terrible, but maybe your wife or husband does the unthinkable and serves you with divorce papers and tells you that it's over. Amen? And everywhere you turn, there's pain and there's conflict, and you're tempted to quit. There is one thing that you have to remember as a Christian, and I wish that you would get this just pounded into your head here this morning. Life may hurt you, but Jesus will heal you. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're facing and how hard it is and how difficult it is and how much it injures you. It may hurt you terribly, but Jesus will heal you. And such was Timothy's life. So to conquer the crisis he was facing, even though he knew that every weapon formed against him wouldn't prosper, amen, and we know that, Timothy had to possess what Paul would describe as a warfare mentality, all right? Notice again that Paul says in 2 Timothy verse 2, endure hardship as a good soldier. When we look at this phrase in the Greek, it tells us something very important about doing the work of the Lord or living a life serving the Lord. All right? And please, you know, if you're going through some type of difficult struggle this morning as you obey God, maybe in your ministry or in your personal life, or as you wait for your healing, you know, and it might be in your marriage or in your finances or maybe in your body, this is for you this morning. This is to give you some more patience and encourage you just to sit back and realize that God is going to heal me. All right? It doesn't matter if it's emotionally, financially, any way you say, physically, he will heal you. Amen? The phrase endure hardship is the Greek word, this is a big one here, sankakapatheo, okay? Sankakapatheo. And it's actually three different words strung together, making one word, but it actually conveys three different distinct and definite ideas. The three Greek words are son, kakos, and pathos. And although the translation endure hardship is absolutely correct, it doesn't completely reveal the full depth of what it's trying to say. Scholars say, in fact, that this particular compound word must have been carefully selected by the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that it was, and I'm sure you'll think so too once you see what it's made up of. The first part of the word is the Greek word son. Say son. Which denotes cooperation, connection, and kinship, all right? This little word son always connects a person to somebody else, so it can also mean a partnership, all right? In other words, you are not alone when you're living and working for the Lord, all right? You and the stuff that you go through, you are not alone, okay? Rather, you are co-laborers with him, cooperating with him. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not alone. Say it so they can hear you. I'm not alone. All right. We'll pray for your ears later. And when we experience a crisis, we also experience a kinship. Oh, come on. When we experience a crisis, we also experience a kinship with the Comforter himself. Amen? I mean, glory to God. Turn to somebody and say this, I have a powerful partnership. Okay, you liked the way it went last time, right? Now say it so they can hear you, okay? I have a powerful partnership. All right, that's what son means. The second part of the word is the Greek word kakos, okay? And it's most often used in Scripture to convey the idea of something that is wicked and foul and bad or evil. So if all you had were these first two words, son and kakos, they would mean to become a partner with a vile, wicked, horrible, and foul situation. But Paul took it a step further and he added the third Greek word, which is pathos, okay? Pathos normally describes suffering, okay? So maybe you want to ask yourself, what does suffering have to do with being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, plenty. The Greek word pathos is very important, okay? It's very important for combating any crisis as a Christian, okay? You see, this word, the Holy Spirit is so cool, I think. This word was perfectly suited for Timothy's situation. It might be perfectly suited for your situation today. And one thing you have to realize is that sometimes, you know, you don't want to come to church. I mean, it never happens to anybody here. It happens here, believe it or not. Sometimes you don't want to come to church. You just don't want to. But there are times, and especially those times, that you don't want to come, that the Holy Spirit has a word for you that will perfectly suit your situation. You know, and when you're not here, you're not going to get it, so no matter what you're going through, you're not going to get it. All right? But anyway, when put together, these three Greek words mean the following. Join in as a partnership with the rest of us who are soldiers in the Lord. Face the vile, horrible, foul, ugly circumstances that are all around you. And if you must, suffer for now to get the job done. Suffer for now. Really? That doesn't sound like God to say suffer for now, but you have to remember something, okay? And I don't care if you don't remember anything from this whole message. Remember this part, please. Life may hurt you, but Jesus will heal you. So again, no matter what you're going through, God turns to everything that happens to you happens for a reason, but not only that, everything that happens to you, he turns it around for bad. No, he turns it around for good. And his good is the same thing as your good. I don't care. People say, well, you don't really know what good is. That might be good in God's eyes, but it's not in yours. Good is good. Amen? Good is good. So, again, I don't know what you might be going through today or what tomorrow will bring into your life. But God's message to you this morning is really, really clear, okay? First, you're not alone in your struggle. You're not alone in what you're going through. And secondly, and probably firstly, life may hurt you. In fact, I'll go a step further. Life will hurt you, but Jesus will heal you. Amen. And I wish you could just get that so deep down in your spirit that the next time or this time you're going through something, you can say and begin to believe and state, you know what? Life might hurt me, but Jesus is going to heal me. No matter how hard, how difficult it may seem. Now, the message today was short. And it's short because I want you to remember that, okay? Because I can give you all kinds of different things, you know, that are related to this. But when I give you all kinds of things, you walk out of here not retaining anything, okay? So what I want you to retain this morning is just simply this. You're not alone. No matter, you're not alone when your wife isn't with you. You're not alone, you know, when things aren't going the way you planned. You're not alone when life just seems to crash in around you. But it doesn't. In many ways, it doesn't matter because, you know what, life's going to hurt you, but Jesus is going to heal you. Amen? And if you're a Christian this morning, which I would hope you are, that's a promise. Amen? Jesus heals. How many of you this morning believe that Jesus heals? Amen. You know, this morning when we were praying with the Gideons, you know, Sam and Bill, I'm sorry. Anyway, when we were praying with them, they prayed for healing for me. Well, if we don't believe in healing, why do we pray for it? Come on. Jesus heals as much today as he healed yesterday. You know, I don't know the reason why you're waiting. I don't know the reason why the time period is long. But I'm going to tell you this much. I know that Jesus heals. Amen. I know that no matter what, the end result is my healing. Amen? Amen? And no, I don't believe in, oh, yeah, they got healed there in heaven. You don't need healing in heaven. We're talking about here on this earth. Amen? Amen. 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 So it's not long. In fact, I'm done. All right? But just remember, you're not alone, and life's going to hurt you, but Jesus is going to heal you. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads right now? Maybe you're going through a conflict right now. Maybe your whole life is chaotic. Maybe, just maybe, you need to forgive somebody. Maybe that's your crisis. Maybe that's your conflict. I'm going to tell you something. If you are holding something against somebody, it will always bring crisis and conflict into your life. And maybe you're just afraid to deal with some of the things you've been going through because you know it's just going to bring more pain as you talk about it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If pain keeps coming up as you remember certain things, it's a sure sign that God wants to deal with that issue in you. He wants to get that out of your life. Just remember two things, all right? You're never alone. And life's going to hurt you, but Jesus is going to heal you. Now, just listen to me just for a minute. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't go through conflict and crisis and trouble and difficulties. And so many times it just comes out of nowhere. If that happens to be you this morning, why don't you just raise your hand so we can pray? Amen. Yeah. There's just stuff you want settled in your life. There are just things that need to be dealt with. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand one more time. If there is some sort of issue in your life, some sort of issue that you just need to deal with, why don't you raise your hand again? You just need to take care of it. Amen. 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 Why don't you stand with me, please? I know that it's difficult sometimes to come forward to the altar. It's difficult when you raise your hand and you want God to touch you, but then it's hard to step out and come to the altar. But I just want to encourage you this morning. When you come up here, I'm going to pray for you, and whoever's left in the pews are going to pray for you. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you raised your hand, and many of you raised your hands. Many of you did. If you did, why don't you come forward and just to make a statement at the altar, just say, okay, that's it today. Today. You know, it's going to be different starting today. I'm going to deal with this starting today. I realize that life hurts, but now I realize that God's going to heal me. Amen. To bow your heads. And you out in the pews, if you would just reach your hand out, extend your hands to these people and pray as well and agree with me, or if you have something else to pray, do that as well. But thank you. Heavenly Father, you see every person here that has come forward. Every person here. And Lord, I pray, first of all, that they would realize, it would just be a revelation to them that no one can take away, that they are not alone, God. that they are not alone. And God, that the next thing, including this thing, God, that the biggest thought upon their mind would be, life hurts me, but Jesus heals me. And I pray that whatever the issue is in each person's life, that today it would begin to be taken care of, and God, that you would heal them. And God, I love this about you. When you heal to a place where it's better than it was before. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. There's no issue too big, no issue too small. But God, you are more than able. And because of your deep love for us, you're more than willing. So God, I pray that you would just clean up, wrap up whatever has to be in the lives of these people here. And God, we'll give you all of the glory, all of the power, God. We'll give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord praise this morning?